You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 30th of January. The trade market, what does it look like as we move to almost a week to the deadline? We'll break down the options, the players, the names, what teams might be able to get, and where the Utah Jazz fit in. A big one in Portland tonight. The Jazz are underdogs heading to Portland, looking to win the season series. We'll break down what's happened between the teams before and get you ready for tonight's tip-off. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? Welcome to beautiful Portland, Oregon. It is blue skies and fabulous out. Had a wonderful dinner last night at a Japanese restaurant in Portland called Nimble Fish. That if you're ever out in this area and you like Japanese food, it is truly an authentic Japanese experience. It was Bon Appetit's top five restaurant, new restaurants in America, and it's just amazing. Had a nice walk with Doris Burke briefly and then good conversation yesterday. So all sorts of good stuff going on here in Portland. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, and getting you the insight and expertise in the Jazz. You cannot get anywhere else. You can get it on Apple Podcasts. You can get it on Google Podcasts. You can get it on Spotify, and you can tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Fired up. By the way, yes, ESPN has the game today, so there is a great Doris Burke sighting. Dave Pasch will be on the call as well. Do remember Craig Bowler-Jack and Matt Harpring are still on the call on television, and really, the real artists work on radio, so you should listen to that anyway. All right, let's dig in. We're going to open the show on the trade stuff because I think that's what's on top of your mind. And walk through, just try to give you a landscape. I'm not going to tell you, I don't have an idea what's about to happen or anything like fun like that. Sorry, that's really disappointing. But I think I can lay out a landscape for you so you can kind of follow it a little bit. And then we'll dig into this matchup with Portland. So the first thing I think that's out there is there's AD. And the Jazz are not involved in that. And so we probably, you know, can move past that conversation. The next part of the conversation is of big names, and as we've talked about, is do the Jets want to make a move now that uses their cap space and takes away their flexibility for the offseason? My general answer on that is maybe yes, because I think free agency is awfully hard. I still think as much as the Millers and Steve Starks and Dennis Lindsay and Quinn Snyder have built the Jazz into a place where they are a better free agent destination than they've ever been, you still have to be the choice. So the most talked about player, I think, for the Jazz in free agency has been Tobias Harris. And it would be incredible. But if Brooklyn offers the exact same deal, where's he going? And we don't know the answer to that, frankly. And that's a pretty big risk. If you have a piece that you know you can get now that has value, maybe that's the better answer. The second question is, would the Jazz be willing to make a deal that puts them in a better position for next season and roster construction, but maybe hurts you down the stretch? Like, I think that one's interesting. And that scenario would be that to some extent you start to make your free agent decision on Ricky Rubio and Derek Favors now rather than then. Now, there's some reasons why there's no reason to do that. One, there's no reason, you don't have to. Two, Derek's contract has that July 5th date in it that gives you a lot of flexibility and freedom before it's guaranteed. But you may make some of, there is a value as a team in general to possibly making free agent decisions now rather than later. Okay, so those are the two primary first decisions. Are you willing to give up your flexibility in the offseason? How real a player do you think you are? I think to turn down a good deal, you have to have a good deal now, for what might be in a free agent market, in a market that has never drawn free agents, would be, to me, high on the risk quotient. higher to me on the risk quotient to bypass a deal now for that flexibility than it is to find someone you know makes you better or you believe makes you better. That's why you make a trade and give up that risk. Second area is I actually would be willing, understanding that the Warriors win the title. I think our goal is to get, you know, I always say your goal is to be one of the final four teams in the West and then see what happens. We've done that 2 years in a row. It's awfully nice to try to say our goal is to make the Western Conference Finals, but I would point out what I've pointed out all year is that what we're asking Donovan to do is unprecedented. Second year wing guard scorers without another scorer. If I remember it correctly, Derrick Rose won 41 games. Vince Carter won like 42. LeBron won about 44 or 45. And Carmelo won 47. Carmelo made the playoffs, I think lost in the first round. Like, to get to the second round with a rookie as your primary scorer last year was incredible. To do it again, even as a second year, is equally incredible. To get the Western Conference Finals with Donovan as a lead scorer, no second scorer, is unprecedented. So, you know, I know it's you always want to say you're making an incremental step better. At some point, the mountain gets pretty steep and those steps don't really exist. I kind of think that's where we might be. So if it means that you make a trade that doesn't obviously improve you but pushes you in the direction of improvement in the offseason so that you can climb that mountain a little better. In other words, maybe you are climbing Mount Rainier or Mount Hood here in Oregon and there is a crevasse in front of you or an overhanging ledge, the Warriors, and you decide to veer out to the left and maybe you retreat down the mountain a little bit so that you can then have a safer route up to the, or a more productive route up to the top. I'm taking that mountaineering approach to this, if that makes sense. So that's, I think, the big picture of where the Jazz sit on this. And then, you know, obviously, I think we all know the pieces the Jazz have. Frankly, it's pretty much anyone on the roster, as is always the case. Like if Anthony Davis suddenly said he wanted to stay in Utah, maybe it's anyone on the roster. But you have the expiring contracts. You have a young emerging player with great potential still in Dante. You have Grayson that has value around the league. And you have, you know, good players are expiring. Jay Crowder's on a great contract, so he's probably super appealing. I'm not sure if the Jazz are willing to do that. And, you know, I think Donovan, Joe feel very much you know, a part, and Rudy feel very much a part of what we're building. So that's where that sits. All right, next we're going to look at the names. Conley, Gasol, Love, Otto Porter, Mirotic, Holiday, Joseph, Collison, Dedmon, Bazemore, Lynn, Lopez, Ellington, Magruder. Huh? That many? Yes. And we'll discuss those. Then in the third segment today, we'll break down Portland and Utah for you. It's all here on Locked On Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by Homie. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate world. The way I like to phrase it is Homie is asking why. Why do real estate agents get this much? Why, if my house increases value, am I paying more to the agent? Why? Maybe in the old days, some of this made a little sense when houses cost a little different and agents really dictated the prices of houses. Not sure that's true anymore. At least that's you can decide that. There are certainly, it's all on a teeter-totter, right? There's value to having an agent. There's a value to using Homie. Homie's side of the teeter-totter is you sign up for $199 to list your house. You close at $1,299. Your average Homie customer saves over $10,000. If it's a $1 million house, you come home with $60,000 more in equity. That's their side of the teeter-totter. I don't need to give the other side of the teeter-totter. They didn't pay for it. But there's an argument on both sides. You can save an extra $100 at 801-899-0072. That's 801-899-0072. Homie will put a whole team behind you. Jack Hanley's a good example. One of their most experienced agents is VP of real estate. He worked in a large brokerage firm prior to joining Homie. He's got a law degree from Virginia. He's got all sorts of aspects, and he and his team of licensed agents and attorneys help you buy and sell your home. And they've got your back every step of the way. It's a lot on the side of the teeter-totter for Homie. If you're looking to sell your house, go give him a call at 801-899-0072. That's 801-899-0072. Now let me take a minute and let you learn a little bit more about Iron Gate Global Advisors and the team that works with Spencer Nelson. I want to tell you about Iron Gate Global Advisors, a financial group out of Salt Lake City, small shop that understands your journey, aren't pushing products on you, and have a strategy, direction, and process. I found out about them from Spencer Nelson, former Utah State great, who, by the way, has an MBA, accounting and finance background degrees, and worked Wall Street in private equity. And he tells me about the personnel. Brian is the chief investment officer.
Brian's a long-term investor, Warren Buffett disciple with a proven track record of active management. He views investing as not trading stocks, but buying pieces of businesses that he believes in. He's focused on not getting caught up in what's hot today or tomorrow, but doing the research, looking 1, 3, 5, even 10 years out with a very patient, methodical approach.
Couple that with Brett and his longtime options background, and you have a versatile group. It's Iron Gate Global Advisors. To find out more about Iron Gate Financial, give Spencer a call, 888-591-0334. That's 888-591-0334, or email him at spencer@igga.com. Anytime we're talking investing, understand that past performance isn't indicative of future results. Also, options may not be for everyone. They have different risks. Make sure you consult a professional before doing anything with them. Do your due diligence. All right, let's run through the trade market for the players. All right, Otto Porter has been talked about. Tony Jones put him in the Athletic. It's a pretty name. What does Washington want? Washington, it's nice to say that Washington wants cap relief. But if Washington does not trade Bradley Beal, which makes a lot of sense, and does not trade John Wall, which makes a lot of sense because they can't, then they have $51 million wrapped up in those guys, maybe more. Because John Wall's contract kicks in now to its next level and starts heading to 30. Bradley Beal's at 25, so $55 million. They're not going to be a team with a great deal of space. Even if they dump Otto Porter, take nothing back, there's not a lot of space. The other decision on Otto Porter you got to make is, if you go trade for Otto Porter at $26 million, that's your team, largely. From the Jazz stance, it's Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, Otto Porter. Does that make you that much better? Is that worth, to the opening conversation, bypassing the other opportunities? Pretty nice player. Career 40% three-point shooter, 48% overall. Having a funky year with Scott Brooks this year. Recently not shooting it well at all. 35% for the field and 32% from three. And really struggling. But he's an interesting player. I've dug into Otto Porter a little bit over the time. And, you know, he is a great shooter. He's underutilized there. There's no question. He's a positive points gain player. In 16-17, he averaged 52% from the field, 43% from three. He has dropped a good deal this year. He has only used 11 scoring opportunities a game. That's probably the biggest thing you'd have to figure out, is whether or not this is a guy you can up his usage. His free throw percentage, amount of free throws, has gone down every year. He has a free throw rate similar to Klay Thompson, Joe Ingles, and Reggie Bullock. There are not many players in the league who have a combination of a low three-point rate and a low free throw rate. That's a tough one to live by. He is a good shooter, though. 39%. And he's a great above-the-break shooter, which opens up the floor more. This year, he's a little lower in that. So anyway, it's worth keeping an eye on. He's a good rim finisher, which means he doesn't seem to be an inadequate athlete. Washington would probably want some talent and a first-round pick. I don't think they're just salary dumping him. Kevin Love. Name's been talked about forever. Quite frankly, the first decision on Kevin Love you got to make is he any good? No, I'm really serious. Like, defensively, switching, body, all these other aspects. Like, what are you really getting? Cleveland, I think, is willing to dump him. They probably have to get a first-round pick for a guy that's career's average 18 points and 11 rebounds. And is a career 37% three-point shooter. But there's a chance that Cleveland might be willing, when push comes to shove, either at the deadline or in the offseason, be willing to just, or they could frankly do it next year, just dump. I think depends where Cleveland is right now. Kevin Love gives them no value. They don't want to win. He might help them win. He's not on the same timeline, and he's really outrageously expensive. So I think they might just dump on him. You have to decide whether you want him. 59 games last year, 60 the year before that, 77, 75, 77, 18, 55. I mean, the injuries are real. You know, quite simply, he spreads the floor and does a ton of things differently. Is he actually more valuable than Derek Favors? With 5 years left on a deal? 4 years left on a deal? Mike Conley. Here's how I view the trade market for Mike Conley. First of all, I think Memphis's point of view, Memphis has to deal him. They just have. You can't have held this conversation with these guys and then not deal them. Memphis' dream, I think, is that Orlando gives up Aaron Gordon. I think their next choice, we find out, is whether they like Dennis Smith Jr. After that, I think their market gets cold very quickly. Unless Indiana was really interesting, and the Victor Oladipo injury takes them out. Unless there's a good team whose point guard situation gets upgraded with his presence enough that it changes their landscape. Otherwise, I think their market goes cold fast. Milwaukee, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm in on this, on Mike Conley. Mike Conley has never, ever played with another ball handler or another playmaker or another passing winger guard. I'm pretty curious at 31 years old to know what would happen with Mike Conley if he ended up on a team who moved the ball, let him play off the ball, let him drive to the basket a little bit. His rim numbers are down. He's a ninth most proficient driver in the NBA. I would like to see him on a team that swings it, moves it. He does everything for them. And the guys he's played against in his career are Tony Allen, Rudy Gay, Tate. Like, Tony Allen can't dribble, can't pass. Rudy Gay can dribble, won't pass. Tayshaun Prince can't dribble, will pass. Courtney Lee can't dribble, can't pass. Actually, has a little drive game that he's developed over the last few years. Surprising. But basically, that's the truth. Mike Conley's points gained is all about average. I mean, he's in the 73rd percentile kind of point guards, according to Cleaning the Glass. That's who he is. He's not an all-star. I've never thought he was. I've always actually thought he was the most correctly rated player in the league. Like, he's a notch below an all-star. He goes to the line still a great deal. The defense is way better when he's on the floor. He's interesting. But their market goes cold. I like Milwaukee for them. Toronto, I don't think so. Indiana, I talked about. Philadelphia's got Ben Simmons. Boston's got Kyrie. Brooklyn's got too many point guards. Miami's interesting, but I just don't know what they ever give back unless somehow Ellington and Magruder and expirings and a first. Charlotte's got Kemba. Detroit would love to get rid of Reggie Jackson. Golden State's not doing it. Denver's not doing it. Thunder's not doing it. Portland's not doing it. Rockets aren't doing it. Spurs are interesting because they're interested, but I don't think so. Clippers have maybe the Clippers do something and figure that he's a perfect complement to Shai Gilgeous, but that's putting in – that takes $30 million of money that then they don't have for the offseason. So I don't think they're willing to do that because of the whole Kawhi Durant dream. Lakers aren't doing it. Kings aren't doing it. Timberwolves aren't doing it. Pelicans aren't doing it. And I just talked about that. So it gets really interesting how fast Conley, I think, becomes available to Milwaukee or whomever, or Utah, obviously, with a first-round pick and a young player? Like Malcolm Brogdon and the Bucks' first-round pick? I don't know. Marc Gasol, I have no idea, and I talked about that yesterday. We'll move. Indiana's interesting. Does the bird rights, and I'm going to start fast-forwarding through some players here, do the bird rights of Corey Joseph or Darren Collison have value? They would like to move one of those to open up playing time for Aaron Holiday. They are in an awkward situation here without Victor Oladipo. They probably really want to play Holiday. Don't want to treat those guys badly. But ideally, they could make a decision on that they're going forward with two of them, one of them being Holiday, and they move the other one for, I think, very little maybe, or just a different style player. But I think Corey Joseph and Darren Collison out of Indiana makes a lot of sense for them to move one of them with the Oladipo injury, with them kind of in a funky position. Atlanta is rebuilding, and I think Kent Bazemore is available. I know Kent Bazemore is available. Kent Bazemore is available. Dwayne Dedmon might be available for a second-round pick. It's a pretty interesting center. He expires at the end of the year. At $7 million, I don't think he has a player option. Jeremy Lin is available. Bazemore has another year left on his deal, so you could get him for a second-round pick or just an expiring. They just want space. Alex Len is really a pretty darn good player, backup center. I don't know if they'd be willing to move him. They may have found something there. I always kind of liked him in Phoenix. So Atlanta's willing to move those guys. That trade market, Dwayne Dedmon's available, for a second-round pick. Maybe two. Robin Lopez, I would think, is available for an expiring and a second-round pick as a backup center for someone. Wayne Ellington, if you want shooting, is probably available for something similar to that. And then if you feel like you're lacking athletes, an interesting prospect in there is Rodney Magruder, who's fallen out of the rotation a bit in Miami. Is probably available because he's a free agent at the end of the year. And again, not worth a lot. Ellington, to me, is the Kyle Korver for somebody. I don't think we need him. But he does a lot of the same things Kyle does. That's, by the way, probably the most important point on the Jazz, and then we'll get into Portland. And that is, they've already made their deal. And it worked. And they've had 22 games of it. I think that's a really, really important thing when you're talking about the trade deadline. All right, that is my kind of trade deadline overview. I probably could have done that tomorrow, but I felt like the timing was right for it. We're a week away. That gives you kind of where everything's playing and what's taking place. We'll talk about Portland and breaking down the matchup here in a second. It's all brought to you by The Store at 6200 South, 20th East, your local community grocery store, who, of course, have the greatest chocolate chip cookies of all time, the Mud Slide Cookie, chocolate on chocolate on chocolate. It's like got a crispy outside with a fudgy inside. It's just the best. So stop by. But the other thing you'll feel when you go to the store is that community feel. The high school kids taking the grocery carts out for the older members of the community that need a little help on their way to the store. You'll feel it with whether it's the setup that has the Rich's Bagels and all the other local companies, donut companies and other things in the bakery section. You'll feel it when you go over to the chip section and see the chips that are the stores that are made by the woman that Scott saw at a wedding. It took the chips, said they're best ever, found out who made them and had her suddenly build herself a company. You'll feel it when you go to the salsa store and see the local parts and local companies and realize that the pico de gallo was made just in the back right there in the produce department. And you'll feel it when you go over to the meat section and realize they did taste tests on all these meats to give you that individual feel. It's The Store, 6200 South, 20th East, opening a new one in the Gateway coming up here soon. The Store, 6200 South, 20th East. All right, Jazz in Portland, we've done this three times already, and there's some really interesting things to this. The primary thing to watch in this game, if you're watching Matt and Craig or listening to Ron and I, or if you go over to the four-letter word. No, they're great people. I'm joking. I only said that because I think Doris might be listening. Hi, Doris. Is Portland does a wonderful job of dropping Yusuf Nurkic. Now, I was talking to Doris the other day. She said she saw them do some other stuff recently with this that I have not seen them do. That maybe they're beginning to change it up a little bit, Yusuf Nurkic playing out a little bit. But generally against us, they're pretty consistent to drop him. And what that means is he's going to retreat out. The key to the game is probably twofold. One is the ability of Donovan and Rudy to create space between the two guys enough so that Nurkic really can't guard both of them at the same time. And so you'll watch that Quinn will move the angles, take notice of where Donovan's coming from. Is he coming from the top? Is he coming from the side? How's Joe attacking? And remember, Portland just took Joe Ingles out of the last game. And I walked into the game with Terry Stotts that night, and he said, Joe Ingles is a hell of a player. And then Joe Ingles was a non-factor in that game. So, you know, keep an eye on what Terry Stotts is doing in that regard. The interesting one for the Jazz is they have been busting the corner three. I mean, they have torched people on the corner three the last few games. They're not going to get that tonight. The Portland Trailblazers actually allowed 9 to the Jazz the other night. The Jazz just went 2 of 9, which is a lot. Prior to that, the Jazz have gone 10 or more corner threes in 7 of their last 10 games. That's a huge number. It's part of the system. It's part of the offense. It's the second most appealing shot. Like, signs the Jazz offense is just rolling is the Jazz offense is getting 30 or more shots at the rim and in 7 of the last 10 games and 10 or more corner threes in the last 10 games. Portland has only allowed 30 or more shots at the rim in 4 of their last 9 games. Portland has not allowed 10 corner threes in a game since they did it to us on December 21st. They have not allowed 9 corner threes in a game until they did it against us on January 21st. So they take this away. We have found a way to get some. We've gotten 10, 6, and 9 in our 3 games. It's not quite the propensity that we had before. Donovan Mitchell's mid-range game is important tonight. Donovan Mitchell in 3 games against Portland is 1 of 10 on long twos. 1 of 10 on long twos. I don't love the mid-range jumper. We all know this. But you've got to hit it some if they're just dropping back like that. Donovan was 12 of 28 in the first game. He had 36, 8 of 18 in the second game. He had 19, or actually, one. I did that reverse order. He had 36 the last game, 12 of 8, 28, 19 in the middle game, 8 of 18, and had 3 points, 1 of 10 the one before. Since Detroit, Donovan's 30 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists a game. It's just a remarkable. Jazz defensively have one of the best, if not the best, numbers defense, making you take shots where you don't want to. Portland took 35 shots at the rim against us the other night and beat us. Very few. Milwaukee and the Lakers have done that more often, but that's not something that regularly happens. In the Christmas game, they took 28 shots at the rim. And in the December 21st game, when we blasted them here, they took 22 shots at the rim. So that's a pretty considerable difference. 22, 28, 35. Our whole essence is we people forced people into a tremendous amount of those paint non-restricted area shots, and people don't make them because of Rudy. Portland was actually okay, 8 of 17. Portland shot lights out on the 3 against us last time, 8 of 17 on above the break threes for 40%. Contrast that to Christmas Day. They got 19. They hit 37%, which is about their average. And then I think they went 7 of 21. Oh, they went 8 of 27 in the blowout here. A little bit of this is a make or miss league, right? They're not going to get corner threes against us. We don't allow them because of Rudy. They don't necessarily take them. They don't move the ball a great deal because when they pass the ball to Harkless and Aminu, you got can't dribble, can't pass, and which is really a problem on this roster. And so Dame's coming at you. CJ's coming at you. Anything you can do to try to get the ball out of their hands defensively because the other guys can't dribble, can't pass. And that's a huge part of this ballgame. All right, I think that's the key breakdowns here. Portland's really interesting. They just play this shell defense. They don't force turnovers. And they force you into a lot of that mid-range shot. At some point, you can have your philosophies. The defense is going to dictate a little, right? So they are the shots that we've been getting as corner threes tonight because Terry Stotts is really good are going to be long twos. It's not great. It's not a great change. It's a reality, right? They're third in the league in denying the corner three. Minnesota was 29th. Denver was 20. Minnesota's 27th. Denver was 29th or 30th. We torched them. This is now systematically a team that plays differently. And so you've got to make – Donovan's got to be better than 1 of 10 on long twos from an offensive standpoint. If Faves and Rubio starts taking him a ton, I don't love that. Rubio's had good games against Portland because they leave that open and because he takes a lot of shots. Last two games against Portland, 15 to 26, 19 points. That's fine. That'll work. Interesting, one last final note. This is so strange, it doesn't make a great deal of sense to me. But for whatever weird reason, Dame Lillard has not always been great against Ricky Rubio. So last game in Portland, he was pretty dang good. He had 26 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. He's so awesome. 10 of 20. Number one pick and roll combination in the NBA, by the way, is Lillard and Nurkic. They run more pick and roll than anyone in the league. Number two, by the way, is Conley and Gasol. Just side note. Lillard in the Christmas Day game goes 9 of 21 against us with only 4 assists. Lillard in the December 21st game goes 7 of 16 against us, only 3 assists. Last year, last game of the year, Lillard torches Rubio 36 and 10, or torches us. But before that, 7 of 18, only 3 assists. 12 of 27, he had 33 that night, but he was 4 of 15 from 3. Before that, we go to Minnesota, he's 7 of 21. Before that, again, it's Minnesota, he's 7 of 21. Kind of strange. Don't know why that would be, but it exists. Jay Crowder's an interesting watch tonight. He has been the one who's taken the most advantage of teams' porous three-point shooting defense, taking 9 a game, and Portland, 6th best team in the league at denying threes. We'll see what he gets tonight. Hopefully that has you ready for the fun one tonight. Tune in on radio. We'd appreciate it. Follow me on Instagram at DLock09, and have a great day. Locked On NBA for you as well today, the Wednesday edition. Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans, should have an interesting perspective with John Corrales, Locked On Celtics. Should be a heck of a show. Have a great one. See you. Bye.